We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels' show is on the air. We're so glad you're on board today. Thanks so much, as always, taking a listen to us. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Neumel Medical Center. We'll talk more about that coming up here in a little bit. Brewers last night fall to the Chicago Cubs in an ugly night down at the ball yard. We bring him in now, Adam McKelvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com.
Best Brewers coverage. This is the Bill Michaels Show. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McKelvey. Brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services. Preparing vets to make an impact within their next mission through education. Find out more at cuw.edu/veterans.
Adam McKelvey now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Adam, up close and personal last night, it was probably as ugly as it was watching it last evening, listening to Brian and Bill with the call. I mean, what else do you say? It was just a bad game last night, and the Cubs did everything they could to give it away, and the Brewers couldn't take advantage.
Yeah, the Brewers have played bad against the Cubs. I mean, there's no getting around that. They've made they've not scored a bunch of runs. Obviously, that's well documented. 36-11 is the season series scoring so far, and they've made mistakes at you know, a bad moment in a lot of these eight losses. And last night's was maybe the VR play where they, you know, Zobrist advances on a flyout with Josh Hader on the mound. They had him at second base. Jonathan VR just admitted last night, you know, he said he was too quick. He heard Arcia, you know, sort of signaling that the runner was coming. And he just made the tag before he caught the baseball. And that was a little tiny thing in a game that ended up being a very big thing when Jason Hayward does kind of the unbelievable and get the hit off Josh Hader as a left-handed batter, and the Cubs tie the game and then go on to, you know, to win big in 11. So it was, you know, Ryan Braun said this last night, you can't make mistakes against good teams, and the Brewers have done that in a lot of these games against the Cubs, and it's led to this lopsided outcome in terms of the season series. Even though when you watch the game, each game is really competitive. It's not like they're getting blown. You know, they're not getting worked in these games. But then you stand back and you look at the results, and it looks like they're getting worked by the Cubs this year.
Do you think the Cubs are in their head?
No, I mean, I don't. How am I have no way to answer that. Number one, I don't know that that's how baseball works either. You know, were the Cubs in Jonathan VR's head when he didn't make that tag? You know, I don't know. I think he just didn't make the tag. If it were like the Pirates deal when they came here year after year after year and the Brewers, you know, beat them up, that may be a little bit different. But even that, it was different players and different years and different managers. And I don't know how even you necessarily can say the Brewers were in the Pirates' head for all those years. It just was one of those quirks where one team beat another for a long period of time. If the Brewers had been really bad against the Cubs for a long period of time, like multiple years, and it was all these same players, I would say that. But I've seen a lot of competitive games between the two teams, and I've seen the Brewers, you know, crush the Cubs a bunch of times over the last couple of years. So I have a hard time looking at nine games and saying that one team is in another's head.
Craig Counsell talks about the decision to pull pitchers when pitchers still don't have high pitch counts. And in some particular cases, I understand it. But at some point, don't you begin to pay the piper when you start to put so many innings on your bullpen?
Well, the answer from Craig Counsell is no, that they are very comfortable with the innings that have been logged by Hader, Albers, Jeffress, Knebel, who was hurt, so it's a different case. They're, you know, the quote-unquote main guys that have fueled this fantastic bullpen. When you ask, Craig Counsell says they are extremely comfortable with the workload, that it's totally sustainable, that they believe they will be just as good in August and September as they have been so far. This is just a choice of how they're opting to get their outs. Junior Guerra could have pitched longer in that game yesterday, but his spot in the order was coming up, number one. They are trying to score runs against the team, the Cubs, that the Brewers have scored very few runs against this year, trying to get some offense going. And he had a fresh Josh Hader and a Corey Knebel who had pitched once in the entire month of June. So Craig Counsell felt like he had more than enough to get through final three innings and win a game against a team they really want to beat. And he made the decision that, you know, he thought was best to win the game. But, you know, again, they are not worried about the innings that these relievers are logging. And we'll see whether they're right. You know, there's with Hader, for example, there's no track record with him. He's never pitched in this role for a season before. You know, they're going on their conversations with him, what he's telling him, what he looks like, how the stuff is playing, what the data says about how the stuff is playing, all of those factors. And they believe that they are, you know, that they're in a good spot with him.
What are you going to do with Arcia? I mean, is Arcia destined once they come back to full strength and Saladino's back and you figure the new acquisition is up to speed? Do you think Arcia is on his way back down?
Yeah, I don't know, Bill. This one's a total mystery. And there's, this gets talked about inside the walls of the clubhouse in the front office of just what in the world happened to him. And how does a guy go from a pretty promising year last year? And he did this stuff with this, you know, this sort of back step that he's doing with that back leg. He did it last year, but he also really handled pitches on the inner part of the plate and did some damage and, had moments. You know, he had a pretty decent offensive season last year when you factor in what he does defensively. The Orlando Arcia of 2017, I mean, that plays. What's happening this year, it's so bad offensively. I think when I looked yesterday, I think it's the sixth worst offensive player in baseball, if you count guys who have at least 100 plate appearances. It's so bad, and it looks so uncomfortable, and he looks so incapable of getting to anything on the outer half of the plate that, they did do something about it. They sent him down, and then circumstances brought him back. So if Saladino does get healthy, that's maybe 3 weeks away, though. That's a long time away. I think the thing that could happen more quickly is Brad Miller, who they picked up from the Rays, will get his feet under him a little bit at AAA. He's going to play the middle infield there. He's more of a second baseman from what we hear than a shortstop. He's, as a defensive shortstop, he's a guy with a 30-homer season on his books, if that makes any sense. I mean, he hit his way to shortstop for the Rays. So you're going to take a step back there. But if he, you know, goes a week or 10 days or something like that and gets the middle infield under his belt and Arcia continues to just not hit at all, then I think it's something you at least look at.
The pitching staff, I know that the bullpen has taken a couple of hits here as of late. People are starting to say, well, did they just pitch above their heads last month? I'll ask you, did they pitch above their heads last month?
You mean I don't know. I mean, is Junior Guerra, he didn't look like he was pitching over his head last night against the Cubs. It's really Guerra and Chacin who are driving this, at least from the starting side. Suter's been pretty good lately. Chase Anderson's not been good. That's one of the things that's, I think, kind of troubling. And, they're you know, they're trying to figure out how to get him not maybe he's not going to be the level he was last year, but get him a little better than he's been, and then try to get Zach Davies healthy again. So, you know, I don't know. I think they're performing at least as a starting staff, not too far off from what they thought. The bullpen's been better, I think, than everybody thought. And when you put it together, if you're getting, you know, if the job of the starting pitcher is get me five innings with the chance to win the game, I think more often than not they're doing that. I still think they're going to add. That's the simple answer, I think, and that's sort of what the you know, those who don't watch the team all that much and kind of look at the stats say they're going to do. I think even as watching the team, I think they're going to come up with some kind of starting pitcher to add to this mix at the trade deadline, give you a little bit more depth in case, you know, Jimmy Nelson continues to be slow, in case Zach Davies takes more time, in case Anderson needs more time to get, you know, right into a good rhythm again. I still think they're going to add somebody to that rotation because that's, you know, again, I said this, I think, to you last week, Bill. If you look at it statistically, that's the one area where they're, you know, they're pretty below the average. And I think an arm would fit there. I don't know that I would want to sell the farm for an arm, but I would, you know, be interested in adding somebody there.
We're talking with Adam McAlvey at Brewers.com and MLB.com. And you and I talked and then said, you know, at some point you got to just kind of, I hate to say punch the Cubs in the face, but you kind of do, metaphorically speaking. If this team should lose another game or, God forbid, get swept in this series, what kind of a hole do you think that puts them in the emotional state? Because we've talked so much, and Ed Cedar came on last year and talked about how this team, they're really kind of a day-to-day upbeat team and good clubhouse and such, but for whatever reason, it's this Cubs nemesis last year, from the time the Cubs delivered the knockout blow at the end of the season to the beginning of this season, the way the season's unfolded. And then you don't get them again until really the chips could be possibly down. And then you've got to walk into this team and face them in September and try to beat them if indeed you're right there on their heels vying for division titles. So how important are these next two games?
Well, I can't be in the player's head. Who this is important for is us and the fans. We're the ones, you guys listening are the ones living and dying on these games. I really don't think the players are. And I can tell you what the hole is going to be. If they get swept, the hole is going to be 2.5 games back in the division, and then you don't see them again until August. So it's 2.5 games back in the division and like 90 games to play, or 80 some games to play. So that sounds mathematically doable to me, more than mathematically doable, but it's for the people watching and you know, who are totally frustrated by this. And look, I get it. It's no fun to watch your team get beat by you know, your rival, and that's what's happened to the Brewers so far this season. But just from you know, a logical point of view, the very worst situation the Brewers can be in as of Wednesday evening is 2.5 games back with, you know, more than half the season to play, and that doesn't sound all that bad to me. So I think if you know, look at it from just that point of view versus the emotional frustration that a lot of people listening must be feeling after watching last night again, you know, that's just the way you're going to have to view it, unless you just want to step away and not watch any of these games for a long time.
Real quick before I let you go, I know that Craig Counsell and David Stearns, you talked about making moves and what may or may not happen down the stretch. So what do you think needs to happen to kind of give a little bit of a jump start to this team, or at least to give this team more fortification moving forward?
Well, as of last night, they had the best record in the National League. So, you know, I'm not certain that they need to do something to jumpstart anything. I think they have a couple of positions, though, that they're looking real hard at whether there are upgrades to be made over what they've got that don't cost you so much in the long term that it hurts you from an organization point of view. So shortstop's an obvious one. They're not going to trade for Manny Machado, but are there other more marginal moves that are available to get you through a season which Orlando Arcia just isn't producing? Catcher's one. I think they really like what Manny Pinion does behind the plate, but offensively he's not giving you there have been stretches here and there, but again, if you step back and look at it from a statistical point of view, that's an area where they just could use a little more offense. We'll see how this, you know, jumble goes now in left field and at first base, and whether someone emerges and whether there's an extra piece there that maybe turns into a part of a trade or something like that. Right in right field, Domingo Santana is another player who's just been very disappointing compared to what he did last year. So there are a couple places on the diamond, I think, where upgrades are available. But, you know, again, I think it's worth remembering, even though everybody's really doom and gloom this morning, they had the best record in the National League as of the start of the eighth inning yesterday. And I think that's kind of worth thinking about as you're thinking about what this team is. I think David Stearns will upgrade if there's upgrades to be made. And we're definitely into that season now where those discussions are beginning.
Always good to chat, my friend. We'll talk again later down the road. And also, good luck tonight, because it's just it's rough listening to Miller Park sound so loud for a team that you're not rooting for.
Yeah, it's, that's another thing that's really interesting about this. It was very one-sided last night. So I wasn't sure with the kids out of school.
I thought it would be better. Though. I'm with you. Yeah. I thought it would be better. Joe and I talked about this yesterday, and Joe called it. Joe said, nope, it's going to be Wrigley North all over again. It's going to be worse. And, boy, he called it. It certainly was last night.
Yeah, it's capitalism, baby.
Yep.
People are making their money.
No doubt.
People are selling those tickets and making their money for their season tickets and whatnot. So yep. What are you going to do?
Yep, no doubt. Good stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, see ya.
All right, pal, see ya. There you go. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. More of the Bill Michaels Show up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show on the air. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED, erectile dysfunction, all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders. They have a 98% success rate. That is 98% success rate in treating guys with ED. In addition to that, they can also help you out with the low T treatments. They have, if you're kind of feeling run down, the mental clarity isn't there, maybe your mood's up and down, you just don't have that stability you used to, go in and get your numbers checked. See what happens. If you're over the age of 30, think about it. It does work. Been there, done that. Oh, yeah. And then there's the all-in-one weight loss program. And if you are looking to shed a few pounds as the summer months get here and you find yourself tugging on the T-shirt a little bit and not feeling great and you want to jumpstart yourself when it comes to health and fitness and weight loss, man, all you got to do is call them. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That is the New Mail Medical Center. Again, 414-455-4451. There's a lot of things that you can attribute to Brett Favre. Brett Favre was always somebody that you could watch and you could go, wow. You could almost guarantee a wow moment in every game, right? Brett Favre was that kind of cat. You can also guarantee yourself a lot of the times and, oh my God, are you kidding me moment just about every time. But what we didn't know when Brett Favre sat down and talked with John Gruden was that apparently he invented the run-pass option. Listen.
We're calling a running play. This is I-right, 93 week. Hand him the ball.
Correct.
And we're tagging it with Z now. He's going to run a bullet slant. This is a running play.
Yeah, this wasn't, we never tagged this. This was, so,
yeah, just tell me how you started doing this, man.
I started seeing in practice. I'm like, without changing the play, And this is this. It took some time to kind of you start seeing things a little differently. I'd get up there, you know, and it's a run play, and I got nothing to think about. Just hand it off. Not only was I kind of bored with the handoffs and all, I was trying to be creative and spice it up. But I thought to myself, damn, that guy's wide open. Now, if I had I changed it to, a hitch or something, maybe it works. But maybe this guy comes up. Maybe this guy now all of a sudden, now the play's not as good. So why not just do nothing? So in practice, I was like, hey, if the run's away from you, and just no matter what, just run a little one-step slant. We call it a look.
So would you look at that guy? I mean,
I'd kind of walk up, you know, I'd do one of these, and I'd say, I got it. So I'd say, I'm throwing it. And I wouldn't look no more.
You were trusting.
I wouldn't be like, mm-hmm. I'd do that if I wasn't going there. So I started in practice. I said, Coach, Mike Sherman, it had to work. So I wasn't going to say, Mike, I'm going to do this in the game. I said, to myself, I'm going to do it and show him that it works before I ask. Because if you ask permission, all these old coaches, they're like, oh, we're going to do it the way it's supposed to be done. And I knew that. In practice, I would tell our guys, if you're opposite the run, you run a one step. And if I had a new guy in there, I would do that. That was a signal. I'd just walk up. I'd do that. And if I want, if to say the corner was inside, I would just do this. Just the smoke. So he just... And Donald Driver was impossible to tackle.
So the run-pass option, hand-waggle, all that kind of stuff, apparently Brett Favre invented that. And he gives a little nice props to Donald Driver, who was, quote, impossible to tackle. Which, when you talk about the inside screen or the inside slant, Donald Driver was it. I'm telling you what, he ran it better than almost anybody. We haven't seen an inside slant capability like that since Donald. I mean, it hasn't been there. Anyway, Brett Favre says that he invented the run-pass option. And I don't remember Favre being the run-pass option guy a lot. Now, he would stick his head in there. Go back to that game in which they won at County Stadium. He's diving across the goal line to beat Atlanta to put the Packers into the postseason for the first time since Moses was a baby. And kind of the run-pass option. He had to scramble. He had to tuck it and run with it. But I don't remember Favre being the most fleet-of-foot guy. But apparently he was, even before Colin Kaepernick and company. So, Brett Favre, look what we can do. How are we looking? Coming up here, speaking of football, coming up here after the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk with Mike Haynes, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. Always good to see him every time we get a chance to say hi and sit down at the table at the Super Bowl. And he is going to join us coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Program Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are always glad you're on board. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Marshfield Clinic Health System. You have something ailing, you have something orthopedically, say, like I did. I had the knee. You don't have to live with pain anymore. I lived with pain a long time. Went in and got the knee fixed. They did a fantastic job. Best part about it is maybe, just maybe, they can get you home in as little as a day. Same day. Who knows? But if it's an ankle, if it's a knee, if it's an elbow, if it's a shoulder, a hip, whatever it happens to be, just call them, 855-MC-ORTHO, 855-MC-ORTHO, and see what they have to offer in the Marshfield Clinic Healthcare System. And also, you have to go to marshfieldclinic.org if you want to find out the doctors, the locations, and all the different information regarding Marshfield Clinic. But go to 855-MC-ORTHO, the official healthcare provider of yours truly. And a guy that is no stranger to some orthopedic surgeons along the way, Mike Haynes, now joining us, Pro Football Hall of Famer on the Schneider Orange Hotline. You've probably had a few of those, right?
Somehow I escaped that. You know, I was blessed, I guess you might say. A lot of DBs are fortunate to be out on the corners, and so we get to avoid some of the injuries that football players are likely to get.
When you, during the playing days, when we're talking about mini camps and all these different guys kind of coming in and meshing and gelling and getting to know guys and coaches and changes and such. When there was transition like that, and there's always transition in the NFL, but when there's transition like that, how difficult is it as a player to kind of keep your head and absorb everything?
I think it's probably more difficult now than it was in my era because it wasn't a lot of moving around, you know. Guys would move around from team to team, but not like today. You know, like I compare my career to, like, say, Deion Sanders. I played on two teams. He played on, like, five or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little different now. Guys are more likely to move around. They're together a lot in the off season with the OTAs and everything, so they're spending a lot of time together, bonding, hopefully. In some teams, it's probably a lot easier to do than others. Because they know how important it is. You see some of the veteran guys that are fortunate enough to be on a team for a long time. They're probably taking a lot of newcomers to the team in under their wing and introducing them around the community and things like that. So I'm sure it's different every place.
We're talking with Mike Haynes.
Green Bay. I would think that Green Bay would be one of those great places to go, though.
You know what? We consider it a destinational place. I don't know what guys in the league feel. I mean, I know. Look at it this way. When you went into a different team, now you've played for the Patriots and the Raiders, but when you would have the opportunity, you start to get guys talking about opportunities to play at other places. Back then, I don't think Green Bay was destinational. I think in today's day and age, with the facilities, the stadium, the history, the ability to win with Aaron Rodgers each and every year, would you consider that a destinational place to play?
Oh, absolutely. And plus, I've been there and I've seen their facility. It's a great facility. The community loves their team. It's almost like you know, being inducted in the Hall of Fame. That's a special place. The people there love their team. They love the athletes. The whole community embraces the whole concept of being a Hall of Famer. It's the same thing for the Packers and the Packer fans. I've noticed that. There was a time I worked in the league office and I'd go there maybe once or twice a year, and I got a chance to see that. I'll never forget. I was at the airport. Getting my rental car, and I said, hey, can you help me? I'm trying to find the Packer facility, and they walked me outside and said, you see those lights over there? You know? It says, it's over there. You know, everybody knows where the Packers are, the streets, the names of the streets, and I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is going to have a street named after him at some point in his lifetime.
I got to ask you, when you talk about destinational places, the Raiders have always had a special relationship with their fans. Now they're moving, heading off to Vegas. How did that hit you when you found out that that was going to be something that was going to become a reality?
Well, I have to say I wasn't really excited about it. And I'm starting to try and change that feeling, you know, because I wanted the Raiders to stay in California. You know, I just that's easy for me. Maybe I'm a little selfish. I don't know. But I think for the NFL, I think it's great that they're going to have a team in Las Vegas because I think it'll help grow our sport around the world. It's going to be a destinational site. I mean, I wouldn't put Green Bay on that list of teams that, like, say, people in Mexico City and Asia, you know, Japan and China, in Europe countries want to go to Green Bay. But, like, Las Vegas? Everybody wants to go to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to help the sport, and they might want to see the Packers play against the Raiders in Las Vegas. But, you know, going to Green Bay in the wintertime is not a destinational location anymore.
When you see the dominance the Patriots had over the years, playing for that organization as well, and obviously there's a very good system in place, but when you hear guys say, yeah, winning championships is great, but we didn't have any fun there, what is that? What kind of emotions do you have as a former player?
Well, to be honest with you, I looked at my career as it's going to be a short time. I was fortunate to get 14 years in, and I wish I could have played in 14 championships. You know, I didn't play football, pro football, to have a good time. I really played to make some money, win a lot of championships, and hopefully get myself set up for the rest of my life. So I would have been fine with that. I'm sure that guys had a good time. Maybe they didn't have as good a time as they could have had in other places. But I'd be surprised if it was a lousy place to be. I just think that maybe being around the facility, you know, you have to be serious when you're around there, and I don't have a problem with that. For me, that's what I would have enjoyed, actually.
Talking with Michael Haynes, and we're going to get into the reason he's on, which is prostate awareness and screening and such, coming up here in just a moment. But I do want to talk real quick about the league, and I would be remiss if I missed the 800-pound elephant in the room, and that is the fact that for as much as they want to avoid it, did the owners step in it by trying to implement some type of rule regarding the national anthem?
Well, I just, you know, for me, the national anthem, I believe we all should stand up for the national anthem. I believe everybody, all Americans, should stand up for the national anthem. And the protests should be either before the anthem or after the anthem. My recommendation was that the PA announcer would tell the fans that are in the stadium that the players are kneeling now because of this reason, you know, whatever the protest is, and then have the PA announcer afterwards to say, now please stand and join us in the singing of our national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's happy in that situation. And then it would have been nice if the National Football League could have said, we have 32 teams, so in the 32 cities where there's a team, we're going to work with the local police department to try and deal with this problem that Colin Kaepernick has raised. We'll get to the answer. You know, we'll work on it. But it wasn't about the anthem, but it ended up being about that. And I just think the message got distorted,
mm-hmm.
and I still think it would have been a nice thing that could have been handled a little bit differently. Now, the president didn't help.
Right,
of other folks jumped in and didn't say good things, and I think the message just got distorted.
Yeah,
I'm hoping it'll be rectified now, and people will understand that every player loves being an American, and it's not perfect yet in our country, but there's a lot of people focused on making it as perfect as they can, and this is not going to change that. People are still going to continue to work on it.
Talking with Mike Haynes, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and the reason you come on, because we're talking about prostate cancer as well. You've been a big proponent of getting checked and knowing your stats and such for a long, long time. Every time we get a chance to have you on the program, we always want to make sure we mention that. So the biggest thing, and you and I talked last time, was, you know, get a hold of your doctor. And guys, that as you get a little bit up there in years, you got to go get checked.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really not necessarily up there in years. I mean, because if it runs in your family, you want to have these conversations with your doctor before you get up there, because it's a slow-growing cancer. And what I mean by that is, like, it's probably in every man's system, but the body is just dealing with it and tolerating it, and everything is fine. But if there is a situation where the PSA number, there's a spike in that number, it might mean you need to take some action. So if it runs in your family, you're more likely to have that happen to you before you're in your mid-50s or whatever. So just want men to be aware of it, because it's a cancer that is easily treatable if it's caught early. I didn't know if it ran in my family or not. I knew my grandfather died of some kind of cancer. When I talked to my primary care doctor, I was 55 years old, and he said I was fine and it looks like I'm going to be fine. But since I'm African American, he sent me for the biopsy, and my biopsy came back positive. They checked 12 places on my prostate, and I had cancer in 9 of the 12. And so I was fortunate to find out when it was easily treatable. And I was fortunate that I had that conversation with the doctor, because by the time I maybe have, had a conversation with my doctor, I might have been in a different stage, and it doesn't mean I wouldn't have been able to beat it, but it might have been a different kind of a fight.
Mike, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to seeing you down the road as well. Next year it should be in Atlanta, and we're going to have a lot of fun there as well. But best of luck to you all throughout your endeavors, and we certainly appreciate your time, okay?
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go, Mike Haynes, the great Mike Haynes, Pro Football Hall of Famer, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. He was a hell of a cornerback, man. Hell of a cornerback. Wheels, leaping ability, hands. Man, he was good. So, so good. Elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame back in 1997. Cancer survivor. So good for him. Always good to get him on the program. Always good to talk to him a little bit and pick his brain and get his opinion. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. We got some stats for you when we come back. Don't forget, coming up after the top of the hour, Zach Zaidman, the pre- and the post-game host, also does the fifth inning on the Chicago Cubs Radio Network. We'll get his view from the other side, so to speak, coming up here in just a little bit. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show coming up next.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. Here's one statistic for you when it comes to the Milwaukee Brewers. That is 4-21. 4-21 when they're trailing after seven innings. And if you really want to kind of get down to the nitty-gritty, when the offense isn't nearly as productive as it should be, and I said all along, 4.3 runs on average for the season, runs per game, is what this team needs to bring you. When they score three runs or fewer, the Brewers are 8-22. Scoring at least four runs, the Brewers are 31-4. Two huge statistics when it comes to their ability to win. You get to that four-run plateau, usually you're winning a ballgame. Scoring three runs or less, 8-22. And they ended up getting beat by the Cubs yesterday because they simply couldn't muster runs. 7-2, that five-run 11th inning the Cubs put on them, as the Brewers could only muster two runs. For the entire game last night, again, less than three. They ended up losing. And that number goes up, but that's your stat. When you talk about stat of the day, that's it for the Milwaukee Brewers. And the stat of the day brought to you by our friends at Aproyo, APPROYO.com. Implementing SAP and big data solutions on the web to companies just like yours. All you have to do is check them out. Again, APPROYO.com. They'll take all your information for your business, put it through their sieve, kind of give it back to you and say, okay, here's the areas you can stand for improvement. Here's some of the ideas that you can use and implement that for your business and make it bigger, better, stronger. That is what AppRoyo does. Go to APPROYO.com. That's an ominous number. When you score three runs or fewer, 8-22, you just get to four runs, 31-4. 31-4. Tough one. Extra inning games, the Brewers go to 4-2. The Brewers have been pretty good in extra inning games this season. I felt pretty confident, even though they looked as if they were kind of choking on themselves. I thought some pretty good things last night about them going to extra innings, and then the wheels fell off. The wheels fell off, pitching started to suffer, and just didn't go from there. But nevertheless, 4-2 now they are on the season. Look, all is not lost. I mean, this team had very few come-from-behind wins last season. They've got 17 so far this year. So there's a lot of good to look at this Milwaukee Brewers ball club and say, you know what, I'm not overwhelmingly concerned. What the biggest concern is that you're going to have, between the next two games and then a couple of series, I think you're going to have, eight games remaining with this team? I mean, if you can't beat the Cubs, you better have a 9-game lead going into the last series of the season. You know, at least throughout, because otherwise you're going to end up watching this whole thing wash away. And you're just not going to be able to beat them. You can beat everybody else in series, but you're not going to get over on the Cubs unless you have an insurmountable lead to where the Cubs can just pick you apart. You're not really going to worry about it too much. 855-830-8648. That's on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Coming up after the top of the hour, Zach Zabin, the pre- and the post-game host, and does the fifth inning for the Chicago Cubs Radio Network. We'll get his side of things. Last night, Mark Wright's counsel's stubbornness not to bunt the seventh when Perez doubled to open up the seventh got it stranded there, especially when he was followed in the lineup by VR, who can actually bunt, would have changed the complexity of the inning and gotten Quintana out of the game with a run three on third with only one out and maybe a sacrifice fly needed to extend the lead. Counsel is the reason the Brewers continuously lose to the Cubs. Madden outmanages him every game. The Brewers gave this one away, and it's all on Council. That is from Mark, listening to us in La Crescent, Minnesota, listening on the app. Always appreciate it when you're listening to us on the app. 855-830-8648. This one is from Tiffany, As somebody who was at the ballpark last night with my family, I can never take my family back to a game in which it involves the Chicago Cubs. The fans couldn't be any more obnoxious and foul-mouthed. I was completely disappointed last night in the ball game and the atmosphere. Yes, I appreciate everybody cheering for their team. It was fun in the beginning. And then as the beer began to flow, my family was insulted. My kids were even insulted by some of the Cubs fans around us who made jokes about everything from the city to my kids' hat. Completely disappointed in the experience. And that is from Tiffany. Tiffany, appreciate the email. That is disappointing. And I told you, the last time I was at a Cubs series, had some Cubs fans that were even making fun of God Bless America that were standing there next to us. 855-830-8648. This portion of the program also brought to you by our good friends over at Cousin Subs. Hey, reminding you, they want to make you a VIP. They really do. Go to CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com/Big Gig Giveaway. And they can be sending you over to the Big Gig. Summerfest, as a matter of fact. Send you to the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. Check out one of the concerts you want to go see, like a VIP. Couple of tickets, parking pass, and some gift cards along the way. Treating you like a VIP. That's what they do. Hometown proud. That is Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And again, go to CousinSubs.com/Big Gig Giveaway. By the way, also, if you stop into a Cousin Subs, they have those gift cards on sale, or I shouldn't say on sale, but for the graduates, so to speak, $25 gift card, and you get yourself a free sub along the way. Remember that. Go in and get that gift card. Get yourself a free sub. Take a load off. Good stuff coming from Cousin Subs. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Zach Zaidman, pre- and post-game host, and does, I believe it's the fifth inning, if I'm not mistaken, on the Chicago Cubs Radio Network. He's going to give us the enemy view, if you will. We'll talk to him about this, and then after that, what do you think last night lost this thing for the Milwaukee Brewers? A lot of people pointing a lot of fingers in a lot of different directions. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.